going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I think our message to him, it's really to all this. It's like, look, got to come in and work, and you got to come in and compete. Yeah, that's the message. Nothing's given. Given the nature of the weekend for him, you know, relative to, let's say, external expectation versus what happened, you know, we did tell him that it really doesn't matter where you picked, it's what you do from that point forward. Because that's the reality for all the guys that we selected this weekend. You know, in terms of his reaction, I just say it was probably a mixture of like gratitude, relief, and determination. That would probably be the best way to characterize it. But, you know, he's certainly ready to go.
It's Andrew talking about when Shedeur Sanders was taken. They did have media availability with Shedeur Sanders on Saturday, as he is now a Cleveland Brown, taken in the fifth round. So where do you come out on it? Do you think that this is a problem with the Browns taking Shedeur? I don't. If I'm not going to be that great, I might as well have a little bit of fun, and I'm having some fun, which I understand. That's insulting. It's not insulting. It's not insulting. He's got a high upside. He is definitely a sure of himself young man, I would say. And I don't take umbrage with the NFL for making him wait or not taking him, not making him wait, but not taking him for five rounds. They like what they like. They don't what they like. They take what they want. The Browns picked up a player that they wanted. I think that as of right now, if I'm making a decision to let anybody, if you're taking Dylan Gabriel with a third pick, you are making, you want to talk about passionate picks? You're making a passionate pick there. Because we all looked at each other, like, I ain't gonna lie, we all looked at each other like, what are they doing? When they took Dylan Gabriel,
because that was way ahead of where, yes, of where all the pundits thought that he belonged.
So somebody in our studio, real quick, on Friday night, they're in our studio, like they left the room for a second, and I go, we're taking Shedeur Sanders. We don't get reactions like this unless they take big name guys. We're taking Shedeur Sanders with this pick in the third round. And then they came back and they just stared, and then my phone lights up and I go, oh my God, they're taking Dylan Gabriel. And you have to sit there and sit on it until the NFL actually makes their decision. And they went to break three times before we made a pick in the first three rounds. So we had to sit there and wait. I'm going, I do not like this pick. Holy God, I do not like this pick. But clearly they do. So as of right now, Kenny's on the team. Joe's on the team. Dylan Gabriel is on the team because you're making that decision strongly. You believe in this young man. And then, I'm sorry, guys, as of right now, Shedeur Sanders is a practice squad guy. Unless he has rookie camp and he has training camp to go out and put himself above Dylan Gabriel. That's what he has. As of right now, he's a fifth-round practice squad guy. So I might as well have a little bit of fun with it until he proves differently. 216-474-0092. Tony in Mansfield, your first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Tony. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was kind of confused with the direction, I guess. Not really the pick, but the direction of the draft and what the identity seemed to be moving forward. Obviously, we know with, like, us not drafting much offense when we have a team that can't score more than 14 points a game. But beyond that, talking about the quarterback, you know, the Dylan Gabriel thing, there's no way that you can tell me with any measurable or any sort of anything towards him that was the pick to take there with all the quarterbacks still left on the board. The only thing that you could say is possibly that the teams that he went to as he transferred and then finally at Oregon, that he did succeed every team he went to, but just the measurables don't seem to translate to the NFL. Now, the Shedeur Sanders pick, I'm perfectly fine with it. I don't see any problem with Shedeur. Was I very high on him? No, I like Will Howard better than Shedeur. But, I mean, really, there's nothing that says that he will be a practice squad player. Now, it makes sense where he was drafted, but there's no reason to think. So my thing is I truly believe, and I don't know why I believe this, because I never was a fan of him whatsoever. I think when it comes to week one, I think Joe Flacco will be there, but I think eventually, I think it'll be Kenny Pickett will be the starter. They'll shelf Joe Flacco, and I think Shedeur Sanders will be our backup, and I think we won't have Dylan Gabriel on the roster
to have to cut a third round pick. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Well, I'm saying active roster. I bet you he'll be on the practice squad. I mean, there's nothing. And maybe I'll be completely wrong, but I think every measurable, including now, obviously we talked about, there's been a lot of talk about the way that Shedeur handled himself, you know, in some interviews. I think that there's a lot of farce there. Obviously, maybe the blacklist of him's fallen so far, but I mean, skill-wise, like, he's there. And then personality and the way he was raised, I mean, whether it be just the way that he was coached his whole life, but also the way that he was raised, morally and ethically outside of football. I like you said, Ken, you know, he's the most NFL ready mentally. I don't know. I think the pick for Shedeur, I think the value's there. I mean, the reason why I'm kind of like, is just the direction of the draft in.
Okay.
I don't understand the two quarterbacks, where they happen, the Dylan Gabriel, then the Shedeur. With all of our other needs on offense.
Yeah, I think Tony, I think a lot of people agree with you, and thank you very much for the call. I think a lot do. I think it would be a very strong thing, though. I mean, because you still have to go through the cut process, he still have to clear, and then you have to stash him on the practice squad, which is a possibility considering that I think a lot of people feel that Dylan Gabriel was, quote, overdrafted. So there is that possibility. To me, I just look at them how they are right now. Joe, Kenny, Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick. The fifth-round choice is Shedeur Sanders. So Shedeur Sanders, as of right now, is the odd man out. We'll see. He has the opportunity to start changing that this weekend.
When these guys get on the field, when they are both out at, like, rookie minicamp, and sometimes I've heard NFL guys talk about how sometimes it's right away. You can tell things like, oh, my God. Like
Carmazzi from San Francisco, the same draft class as Tom Brady. They talk about that.
So you can tell, like, things can leap off the page at you right away. The thing is here.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Dylan Gabriel's got a way better arm than Shedeur. So Shador's not going to win that battle. So then it comes to, all right, who can show that they can absorb a playbook? The stuff that the caller just alluded to, like Todd McShay says, he talked to a guy in the Giants organization and said Shedeur couldn't draw up a play. Like, the team was miffed. The coaches were miffed at how far behind he was. And that's McShay's putting his name on that. Like, I talked to a guy with the Giants who told me he could not go up on the whiteboard. So where is Shedeur going to win those types of battles with Gabriel, who is one of the most mature guys in the draft? So I am curious about the humbling part of this, where, you know, Shedeur and his dad, they tried to be a disruptor. Like, they tried to come in and disrupt the NFL, and the NFL was like, no. Like, Maurice Claret tried to be a disruptor. The NFL said, no. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, Colin Kaepernick tried to be a disruptor. The league says no. This league still does not operate the way that people think, like the NBA, you know, the Ball family came in and they disrupted the NBA. Well, the two top, three picks in the NBA. This was not that. Like, I wonder how much he can be humbled in, like, a quick amount of time.
Mike in Akron, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I'm not even going to really talk about the third and the fifth, because if you switched them and all of a sudden you took Shador before Dylan Gabriel, we'd be having a different conversation, right? I'd like to talk about Andrew Berry's talent evaluation at the quarterback position. There is absolutely no way that we can let this man have two first-round picks next year in a heavy quarterback draft with what he's shown in talent evaluation at quarterback. I'm sorry. I think that when he made the trade to move back to number five, the Travis Hunter trade, he's actually gave that pick to the next GM, because we just can't let him pick a quarterback. He just can't do it. He's shown that he cannot judge and grade quarterbacks correctly. And I can't give him two first-round picks next year. I can't.
Well, that decision will be made during the season, I'm sure, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. If they don't win enough games, I mean, if they go out and they win 9 games this year some way, somehow, he's going to be the general manager going into next year. If they go out there and they win 3 games this year or less, then, yeah, there's a possibility he could be gone. If they go, because if you kept everybody after winning 3 games, how high can the next bar be? Do I expect there to be some dramatic turnaround? I mean, clearly they think they're better than what they were last year. But how much better do you have to be to hold on to your job? That's got to be the biggest question that I think we'll have to answer this coming season. Josh on the road, you're next up on the Fan.
Gentlemen, good morning. I can't get over the draft room when they picked Bronny Sanders. Like, was that a Jimmy Haslam thing? Like, just people are generally excited when they pick
now,
up.
Now, why did you call him Bronny Sanders?
Because he's a freaking Nepo baby, Ken. Listen to this and hear me out, okay? At least Dylan Gabriel was out hunting a Heisman while Shador was sitting on his butt waiting for Daddy to retire his number. Like, let's be real.
Wait, hold on. Shador, can you talk about actual football? Like, you thought Shador was like some horrible quarterback last year?
He was
pretty good, wasn't he?
I'm not saying that he's a horrible quarterback.
Well, you called him a Nepo baby as if he had no business playing football and quarterbacking at Colorado. That's insane. He was good. He's the best quarterback they had in how many years?
Yes, and he was there because Daddy Dion dragged him over.
Do you like Arch Manning?
I'm indifferent to Arch Manning.
Oh,
I'm out
okay.
to see us win.
No,
I'm
he,
out
he
to
knew
see
the trap
us
was
win.
So, wait, you don't think he earned anything? You don't think he earned anything at Colorado?
I think he earned a shot at Colorado. I'm just saying he wouldn't.
What about
in
what
pen,
is the Nepo baby part? You mentioned Nepo baby like 4 times as if he wasn't one of the better quarterbacks in college football last year. Are you saying that if he had another last name, he wouldn't have played college football?
I'm saying that he wouldn't have played.
Do you know what a Nepo baby is?
Yes.
Is that just a phrase you throw around with your buddies in text threads every day? Like, I'm so confused.
Shut up and listen to me for a second.
You haven't made a point. You haven't explained what a Nepo baby is. Leave him on.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I'm going to have to root for the Steelers because they actually took a worthy quarterback.
Oh, for the love of God.
Now I've got
to deal with
Dion in Cleveland.
Oh, my God.
Because Jimmy Haslam's crack pipe is glowing.
Okay. Well, you're going to go root for the Steelers over Will Howard? I mean, I love Will Howard. I'm not going to take away anything I said about Will Howard, but good God, he was a 6th-round pick.
So again, and we've made the point 1,000 times, but are you going to be calling Arch Manning, are you going to be calling him a Nepo baby next year?
That's what I set it up to be, because it's like, guys, in the next 2 years, he's going to be coming out. Are we just going to say the same thing? Now, I'm sure he's going to be a better prospect than what we've seen with Shador Sanders. So far, I mean, he hasn't played that much, but every time he plays, he seems to go out there and put something on film that's incredible.
I mean, do you realize,
so we'll see what he does.
Do you realize in all the major sports now, the kids of the parents that were really good, that had all the resources, are now the next rung of really good prospects?
Yeah.
Like, Carlos Boozer's kids are really good. They are really good. Are they Nepo babies now? Like, what are we? Scottie Pippen's kid is really good. He's playing meaningful minutes in the playoffs. Like, this is the future of sports. If you notice some of the baseball kids that have come along, like, I just don't understand Nepo baby as if Shador was horrific
and kept
starting even though he was a terrible quarterback.
216-474-0092. I mean, we can't deny that it was a huge drop in the draft. I mean, remember, his brother plays on the football team. His brother didn't even get drafted. So I don't know if Nepo Baby really works in this scenario here.
Well, people are saying is his last name cost him in the draft. So where's the benefits out of being the Nepo Baby there?